Some may be better than others. So I believe that there are some approaches which are better than others. And also bear in mind here that the ones he called were everyday people. These were not the high educated Pharisees or Sadducees of the day. They weren't the Essenes in their monastic type lifestyle or whatever it was they were doing there. But these were tradies, to put it in very common language. These were everyday people. And as we heard last night, what Brother Ingwald was saying, is that is about how God uses you and how God uses ordinary people. So be encouraged today. You might feel like there is a big gap between you and being a soul winner. Or you think, how could I ever be someone who could lead someone to Christ? Or how could I ever get to that situation to where I could talk to someone and actually have them, you know, let me share the gospel with you? Be encouraged. God can help you to that end. Okay, and God uses individuals and God uses unlikely people sometimes. C.H. Spurgeon was under the sound voice of a country preacher. And we've got a DVD at home, and in there he speaks about that, or it's narrated there. I'll take it that his words. And he said that he was just there in that in such misery of soul, and this dark, as it were, depression in his lost state. And he said, how God uses the most unlikely people. He said, the voice of this country preacher, he said, he was speaking to me. And it was there at that time when he challenged him and that he trusted Christ as his Saviour. And how many people now know of C.H. Spurgeon, great preacher, and all those who came to know Christ as their Saviour. So be encouraged that God can use you. And don't be discouraged in thinking, I can never, ever be a soul winner. God can help you and enable you. And the track that I'm going to take you through today, I learned to use this stop track when I was at SBBC. Just by way of personal testimony, I started doing the soul winning course at SBBC. It was actually scheduled for me to do, I think, in the next semester. But Pastor said, you've got to do the soul winning course. So I enrolled in the soul winning course, did an extra course, even though I was going to be doing it later in the year. So anyway, I did it earlier rather than later, myself in a heavier load to begin with. But when I was doing this course, he spoke with us about multiple things, not only how to use the stop track, but how to deal with Muslims, and he has different sheets, Pastor Keith Piper, so you can try to deal with Muslims apologetically, show them errors in the Quran and so forth. And I just remember one evening, Tuesday evening, the course was on, going up to my room and feeling under this burden, and it was exciting what I was learning. And just kneeling by my bed and just calling out to the Lord and asking him to help me to win souls. And I didn't know the Lord's help at that time. We used to go down to Parramatta and you know, try to talk to people and hand out tracts to people and witness to people. And God seemed to give me such a zeal when I was down there in the street and such a boldness, which I perhaps haven't known before in the area of soul winning. So God can help you, and you may be surprised at just the opportunities you can have actually to talk with someone. How many people actually will let you share the gospel with them? Who will actually give you the time to go through and listen to a gospel presentation? So you might be quite surprised at that. Also, just by throwing this in here, don't be afraid to invite people to church. When I used to be at Pastor Piper's church, we used to invite people on a Sunday afternoon, and people would come, like literally from that invitation, to the evening service. They would come right off the street and come to church. So don't be afraid to invite people to church. Why not ask? They might say no, but why not ask? They might come. You don't know. So we need to get down to the stop tract. So I can just have Brother Seth, please, and I'll have Brother John too, please, if that's okay, just to help with handing these tracts out. Does everyone have a pen? Anyone not have a pen? Do you just give half to Seth, bro? Okay, I also have another piece of literature here, again by Brother Piper. It's called Establishing the Faith. And if you'd like to do review after this lesson, lesson 44, how to lead a person across using stop tracts, so you can go through a lesson in here again, on how to use the stock trade if you need to refresh yourself. That's a very good resource, and that's what you can use for a follow-up Bible study with someone who you've led to Christ. You can, once going through the gospel, you can then give them an establishing the faith and try and tee up a Bible study with them as well. Okay, has everyone got a stock tract? Everyone's got one? Good. Okay, could we also, would you men also mind handing out establishing the faith, please, for everybody? Okay, we'll get those handed out now. While those are getting handed out. Also, we'll say, Brother Ring was talking with last night about the matter of going and how we need to go. Just a word of encouragement, don't wait till you have a feeling like you want to go. Pastor Jack Hiles, okay, well-known soul winner. My dad's been in a meeting with Pastor Jack Hiles, and he's stood up the front in a huge auditorium full of people and said, hands up, all those who I've led to Christ personally, and hands went up all over the auditorium. He led so many people to the Lord. And he said, every time I go soul winning, I never want to go. Okay, our flesh hates it. Okay, the devil's against it. It's hard to go soul winning, but we need to go by faith, not by feeling. Okay, if you're waiting for a feeling, you're probably going to be waiting a very long time, if not the rest of your life. Okay, so we need to go by faith. And you'll find that when you are going at times, or when God gives an opportunity, that is what will encourage you at that time. Okay, so first of all, we're going to start with a tract about the approach. I haven't got a roving mic, but anyway, can everyone hear me okay? Just my voice? Okay. So the approach with giving out a tract. So sometimes what probably by far the best with a tract is, or with this, is if you can actually make a time to meet with the person and speak to them about it either in your home or in their home or somewhere where it's without distraction. You can go through it in lengthy discussion, over a good period of time and everything like that without having to rush, so that's good, and without so many distractions. But let's say we're in the open air and we're handing out tracts. Because you can do this on the street, you can go through this presentation with someone on the street. So how do I start with giving a tract to someone? Hello? Have you thought about heaven? This might help you with heaven? Or do you want this? You probably don't want this, do you? No, I don't think so. if you ask the question, say, can I give you this? No. Okay, so you're sort of in a corner. What do I do now? Because they said, no, I can't give it to them. So what Pastor Paul teaches, which is quite good, is you say, this is for you. And they take it. Okay, so that way you don't give them the option of refusing. They say, this is for you. Now, also as well is, I don't know if it's a sense, but we need to believe in what we are sharing. We need to believe that the gospel is the power of God and salvation. You've seen that miracle. I saw those two miracles we saw the other Sunday with Mr. and Mrs. Stone getting saved. That's miraculous to me. Okay? Yes. That's the power of the gospel. Don't be fooled by people's fronts. Even in laughter, the heart is sorrowful, and the end of that mirth is heaven. People are lost. People are dead. Got a whole conglomerate probably of different ideas and philosophies in life. Don't believe the facades. We have the answer in the gospel. Okay. So that I don't mean about it being a silly way, but believe in what you are sharing with people. Okay. If you don't believe it, they're probably not going to believe it either. So if you're sort of, do you want this sort of thing? Then probably no. Okay. So now, that's, at least you're trying, that's better than not doing it at all. Okay, smile, okay? Smiling is disarming, you know, you just smile at people, okay? Look at him, he's disarmed already. Okay, and you know, if you believe it, okay, then they're going to be more likely to take it, okay? Whereas if you're going to be sort of, then they feel that, they sense that, and they, for some reason, register the same. Okay, but, you know, believe what you're sharing. Small, so you know, they say, this is for you, or you know, or they say a card when you go through the checkout, or whatever, this is for you, you know, and take opportunities that God gives you, okay? So, what are we all trying? Everybody stand up, please. Okay, and try, smile, and present the tract to the person next to you. Okay.
Okay, thanks. See, away they go. So now how do I share the gospel? So you need to then ask them a question. Now, there's different questions you can ask to people, but this is a good one. And be polite. People appreciate if you're polite and you're friendly and not rude or anything like that. How do you think about putting Pilgrim's Progress or evangelist? Evangelist points to the way. Okay, he wasn't the judgment of God or wrong of God, even though we don't preach that. He pointed to the way. And that's all we are. We're a friend to the sinner. We've been saved. Okay, we're the friends who point them to Christ. Then said that evangelism is one beggar telling another beggar where you can find real good. So you can go then ask them a question. Say, one question for you, please, if I may. If you were to die tonight or sometime, and I hope you don't, because I hope you don't, would you be 100% sure if you would go to heaven? Alright? Yeah, you can't be 100% sure unless you've been saved. Okay, and they say, well, I hope so. I hope so. Would you like to be sure? Okay, now a lot of people, would say, yeah, they would. Yes, I would. And from there, you say, okay, well, this piece of paper shows you from the Bible how you can be 100% sure to God's life you will go to heaven. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that we should just simply push heaven and not deal with sin. We deal with sin as we go through. But you want to be able to start a conversation with someone. Okay? And to be able to get down to the gospel, even with people who say, you might have to deal with other religions or people's skepticism or whatever, but eventually you want to get down to the gospel, okay, and for them to actually hear the gospel. Can you imagine how many people would be encouraged if they could share the gospel with someone, even if they didn't get saved, but yet give them a clear presentation? We feel encouraged about that. Yeah, you could show someone a clear presentation. I believe you can do that here. So this paper shows us from the Bible how you can be sure of going to heaven, okay? So now, could even perhaps even have two pens, one for you to point and one for them to draw. Okay, so I'm going to take you through God's grace as if I was taking a lost person through and you follow along with me, and so you will learn how to do it. Okay, so this is for you to take it, okay? You ask the question. My question for you, please, if I may, if you could die tonight sometime, hope you don't, would you be 100% sure if you go to heaven? Or no. Okay, would you like to be sure? Yes. Okay, well, this paper, piece of paper shows you from the Bible how you can be 100% sure if you die tonight you would go to heaven. Stop. Stop. Are you after the song from God? Here it is. Don't ignore it. Think, where will I spend eternity? The gift of God and eternal life, have you received it? Okay, and if you open up to the first page, you'll see we have several points here to show us how we can be sure of going to heaven. Now, again, to be polite, you say, would you be so kind as to read the first heading and the verse underneath? Okay, so ask them nicely to do that, okay, and get them involved. Because one of the issues can be with soul winning is if you are sharing the gospel with someone and you're saying to them, okay, so, everyone else has said that, yes. Okay, and you're going through it, yes, yes, yes. This way's down, yes. This way's up, yes. Left is right, yes. Right is left, yes. And they're not actually understanding what you're saying, and they just agree with you. Okay, and they're not actually interacting. So you want to get them interacting with you and thinking about what they're doing, yeah, and understanding the presentation you're giving to them. So, would you be so kind as to read the first heading and the verse underneath? Okay, if you all like to read together.
All has sinned. For all has sinned and come short of the glory of God.
Okay, very good. And something you can do with your pen is just put a bracket on one side there. Okay, just so they can see. So you follow along with your pen, do a bracket just there on one side so they can see where you are pointing them to. Okay? So you do that bracket, you ask them to read that. Okay, and then ask them the next one to say, what do you think is the main idea in this verse? Now look at it, they say, all have sinned. Okay, and then you say, okay, very good. We circle sin, please. Circle the word sin. Okay, and you ask them to say, what do you think sin is? Someone have it, what do you think sin is? Sorry. Hi?
Blessing.
Pressing them up, yeah.
Breaking the law, yeah.
Okay, they might say, yeah, doing bad things. They might say something like that. They might have an idea what sin is about. Okay, yeah, so we see here three pictures. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but at the end thereof are ways of death. You see the road of self. Sin is putting self first. Sin is me going my way rather than God's way. Next picture there. Sin, we see that the sin separates us from God. Sin is separation from God. You can ask them, say, have you ever had a fight or an argument with someone?
Oh, yeah.
Who hasn't? You say, well, when you had that fight or the argument, did you feel like there was something between you and that person? You know, when you saw that person, you felt there was something? Yeah. Okay, so our sin comes between us and God. We can't have fellowship with God because of our sin, because we've broken His laws. Okay, also the third picture here. All have come short of the glory of God. Okay? Doesn't matter how good we are, we always fall short of God's standard of perfection. No matter what we do. We never ever reach God's standard of perfection. Okay, so now we go to the law, okay, to deal with the matter of sin. Okay, so now we have God's law here, which is the Ten Commandments. Would you be so kind as to read number one, please? You want to read that for me? Yeah, that's right. So we don't have any other gods before God. Have you ever had something in your life that you sort of been more important to you than God? You know, some people have, you know, you might ask them, you know, have you ever worshipped another God? I have. And they say, no, I haven't. Okay, have you ever seen, had something in your life that you see as being more important than God? Your job, your position, or something that you love more? Okay, everyone has. Yes, okay. Would you be so kind as to circle point one, please? Okay, point number two. What's that one say? Okay, some people make idols to bow down and worship. Okay, have you ever done that? You worshipped an idol? Okay, nice. No. Okay. Point three, please. Okay, that's called blasphemy. You probably heard people say that. They say, oh, why? They say God's name. Or they say Jesus Christ in your own way. It's called blasphemy, which is very serious. Have you ever done that before? Oh, yes. Okay, would you circle point three, please?
Okay. Okay, point number four. Okay, so in the Old Testament, God gave the Sabbath day to the Jews. Okay, the New Testament, we Christians meet on a Sunday. And you always give one day in the seven to God without fail.
No,
I haven't. Okay, who has? Okay, so please circle number four. Okay, number four. Okay, you always honour your parents without fail. Oh, yeah, I've been good. Okay, so they might say something like that. They see themselves as not really doing it. Okay, were you ever disobedient before? Okay, you ever disobedient to your parents? You ever disobedient before? Oh, yeah, you know, when I was a kid, you know. Okay, so sometimes you have to help them when they'll say people the wrong answer to show them that we sit it. Now, when you're going through this, feel free to include yourself as well. Okay, I haven't always honored my parents. I haven't always been reverent about God's name. You know, so include yourself as well. That we are all sinners in need of salvation. Okay, number six, please.
No.
Have you ever killed anyone? Okay, then like, I haven't done that. So okay, well that's good. Okay, but when Jesus came to earth, he took the law to a high standard. Okay, he saw that if man looks to him, lust after his and adopt the hurt in his heart, and also hatred in the heart, to be so we can have a murderous type hatred in our hearts. And have you ever hated someone before? Okay, well, you put some comments to circle point six, please. And then point seven, don't commit adultery. Okay? And you say, now there's, you can explain to them, you might ask them that, but okay, if you've got a husband and wife there, you might not ask them that question. You might ask them, say, you know, you might give that point and say, you know, Jesus Jesus came to earth, he took the law to a higher sense. So he saw that the man looked towards lust after he's rebuilt with his heart. And asked that, you know, have you ever done that before? Okay? If you'd be so kind as to circle point 7. Okay, what's the next one? Point 8 there.
Steal.
So steal. Have you ever taken something that doesn't belong to you? Oh, no, 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 I don't do that sort of thing. No, I don't steal things. Okay, what about when you were a child? You ever take something that belongs to you? You know, like myself, I took money out of my dad's drawer. You know, have you ever done something like that? Oh, yeah, when I was a kid, you know, I took something from the shop or whatever. So someone had to help them, okay? Could you please circle number 8 then? Okay, number 9.
And bear false witness.
Okay, so that's speaking in a legal sense, in a court, not to give a false evidence. Okay, but the great principle there is that of lying. Have you ever told a lie before? Okay, now believe me, there are people who will tell you they haven't told a lie. There are people who will tell you they have never, ever sinned. It's such a privilege to be around those people. Perfect, finally. Okay, so we walk on, and they say to the whole, probably like a white lie, it takes 5 minutes, it takes an hour, something like that. Okay, but a lie is a lie, isn't it? Okay, it's not, it wasn't true, it wasn't, no. Okay. But God is a God of truth. You can see in the scriptures that God cannot lie. Okay, so, and it even says in Revelation, all lies should have their part in the language burned before a minister. So even one lie is a serious thing. And just remember, God, in this context, okay, sometimes things are funny and laugh, but when you actually deal with a person, that's serious. Okay, you're really dealing with someone's soul. So I don't mind us having a bit of fun and solving class as well. Point 10, please. So covet, okay? Coveting is wanting something you should not rightfully have. Okay, so for example, for a man or woman to be jealous over their spouse, okay, that's okay. Okay, but then to want someone else's spouse, that's coveting. Okay, or to want someone else's. Have you ever coveted? You want someone's job or someone's position or someone's looks or someone's money, things like that? Oh, yeah, probably. Yeah. Okay, please circle number 10. So sin is disobeying God's law. God's law, the Bible, or the Bible. So then over to the left-hand side. Now, it says, we are all gross sinners compared with the holiness of God. Now, ask them a question. Say, do you believe that you and me and all of us, do you believe that we are all big sinners before God? Okay, if they say yes, okay, please put a tick next to that. Okay, and you can ask them, do you want the God of the Bible to be your God? Okay, if they say yes, okay, please put a tick next to question 1. Okay, do you want to turn from God, from sin, and come to God? Okay, a matter of repentance. I can say yes. Okay, tick. Okay. Would you be so kind as to read the second heading and the verse underneath, please?
Punishment of sin is death, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Sorry, the second verse too, sorry.
Amen. And hell will cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death.
And this is all. You just do that bracket there as well, just to show them where they're reading, so they know where they're going. Just pin the bracket there for them. You obviously have given them a pen to be able to circle them to tick. Okay. So, what do you think is the main idea? What are the things, the main idea in this verse? Again, you can ask them that question again. Salvation's a gift or whatever. Okay, yeah, sure. Okay, so in this verse, what it says, what is the penalty for sin? What is the punishment or the penalty for sin?
Death.
That's right, getting it, good. Okay, please circle death. Okay, and what is the... I'm not sure what exactly. Anyway, so the gift of God is eternal life through his cross. Okay, so and then perhaps ask a question, what is salvation then? Yeah, eternal life. And what is it? It's a gift. It can't be a certain gift. Okay, and what is the gift? Okay, please circle eternal life, and it's through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's how we're saved. So the penalty of sin, now sitting down the next verse there, says, the death of God comes from the lake of fire. This is the second death. So there's a first death, how we die physically, okay, our bodies are put in the ground, and there's a second death, which is far greater and far worse. Where are death and hell going to wind up? Where they're going to put into the lake of fire. Please circle the lake of fire. Now, draw an arrow from the wall down to the lake of fire. Now, explain to them. Now, put an S, and then put an S next to that arrow. And you explain to them how that is where the devil and his demons are going. Okay, it's a hell. But God gives us a chance. God gives us a choice of whether or not we can receive his gift of salvation. Okay, so put another arrow down, lay the fire, and right next to us. Okay, so the bad news is that because we have all sinned, God's law says that we should go to hell for all eternity to suffer for our sin. Now, is there a way out? Yes, there is. Okay, God is offering us the free gift of eternal life, which we get through Jesus Christ, not through good works or any religion. Okay, would you be so kind as to read the next verse there? Put a bracket there. Okay, in this verse here, how are we not saved?
Of works.
Okay, so please circle, not of works. Okay, what of works? Good deeds. Okay, so things like going to church, baptism, giving tithes, things like that won't save us. Okay, so it's not of work. It's good to be good, okay, but good works never cancel out bad works. Okay, good works never ever save us. Okay, you could use an illustration. So let's say you're driving down the road and it's a 60 zone and you're going 100 kilometres an hour and the police pull you over. And they say, do you realize you're just going 100 k's or 60 kilometres an hour? And you go, oh yeah, but, you know, pretty well every other time in my life when I drove along this road, I was going 55, 58. Whatever, okay? Things are fine. Okay? It doesn't matter about what you did in the past. You've broken the law now. Okay? You don't have to be punished for that. So regardless of how many times we've been good, okay, we've sinned, and that brings about punishment. Okay, therefore, the law of God says we should go to the lake of fire, but the love of God wants us to go to heaven. Okay, you imagine if you were a judge, okay, you're in a courtroom and your son walks into the courtroom having committed a big crime. And you say, son, what are you doing here? He said, oh, Dad, I've robbed a bank. Now, can you imagine how you would feel as a father going, son, I have to send you to jail, I don't want to, but I have to. Okay, see, he's got the law, but he also has his love. Okay, now we know that before we're saved, we're not children of God, so when we are saved. But we see here that there is God's law and God's love here. Okay, let's have the cross of God's illustration. It's not a damn into a tears or sphere in the oxygen, please.
Okay, we have you three sitting there, please. Okay. Now, for the purpose of illustration, okay, let's put Dan's in the position of the sinner who needs to be saved. Okay. All right, you recognize the Lord, praise God. that's good. Okay, John is going to represent the law of God, and Matthias is going to represent the love of God. Now, put your hands out there. Okay, now, each of you guys, grab a hold of his arm. Okay, so like this. So like this. Like that. And then you go, I don't like that, okay?
Bodily from the dead.
Yes, okay, please put a tick next to that.
Also, if people don't believe that Jesus is 100% God, 100% man, you can go to the establishment of faith, chapters 41 to 42, and you can deal with that matter there in the person of Christ, okay? If you have a hitch on this point. Okay? And Pastor Bobo, he says to the person, okay, you don't necessarily say this, but he says, okay, you're now 90% into heaven. That's what he was saying to them. Okay, and then us, you need to receive Jesus. What's the last point they say?
Jesus Christ.
Okay, you need to receive Jesus Christ, and as they say, those who are given free forgiveness and eternal life, how do I reach it? Those who, okay, so if you do that, you receive free forgiveness and eternal life right now at this point. This means that you now accept Christ's blood sacrifice on the cross as the full payment for your sins, trusting Christ alone to save you, not your good works or any religion. Okay, and these pictures here illustrate what happens. Okay? When we receive Christ as our Saviour by faith, we receive pardon. We receive Christ's pardon, as you can see in that picture. God forgives us. Okay? He's taken the penalty out of the cross, or we receive Christ as our Saviour. We receive pardon. Secondly, our sin and our guilt will roll away. Okay? God will take that away from us. And thirdly, we are spared from God's wrath. Okay, because God, rather than taking his wrath out on us, is taking his wrath out on Christ, and we will receive Christ as our Saviour. We can be sure of this because of these promises God has given us to claim in the Bible. Okay, last page. Okay, would you be so kind as to read the first verse there, please?
As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God.
Okay, what does it mean to receive Christ? Okay, Pastor Bob used an illustration of a real estate agent you employ, okay, and then you use them as your real estate agent to say to sell your property. Then, I say reverently, we'll get saved using Jesus Christ as our saving agent. Okay? Christ, we receive him as our saviour for the forgiveness of our sins. Okay, you can even ask and say, well, do you think it would be a nice thing to be a son of God or a child of God? Okay, help them with making the right decision. Okay, yeah, that would be a good thing. Okay, next verse, please.
For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Okay, so how do we, in this verse, what do we have to do to be saved?
Call.
That's right. Please circle call. Oh, sorry, can I ask you to repeat? Sorry, back up a bit, please. Okay, sorry. But as many as in, to them gave the power to be, become sons of God. Okay, what do we have to do in this verse? Okay, please circle receive him. And if we do that, what will we become?
Sons
of God. That's right. Sorry, just a bit there. Okay, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Okay, so what do we have to do to be saved? Call. Okay, and then if we call on Christ, what do we then become?
Saved.
Please, sir, we shall be saved. Okay, now, if we come to Jesus, okay, genuinely wanting to be saved and repentance from our sins, will Jesus say yes or no? He'll say yes. Okay, some people might actually struggle with the fact that I don't think God will accept me, I don't think Jesus will want me. Okay, but Jesus said he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Okay, Jesus came to be the Savior of the whole world, but you, that's moved everybody. And so God asked that, what will we become saved? Shall we save? Next verse, please. Rebecca?
He that has the Son has life, and he that has not the Son of God has not life, that he may know that he hath eternal life.
Okay. To be able to have life, what do we have to have?
Son.
Okay, I'll circle, so I can give this point. We're going to please circle Son and life. Okay, and we can know it, circle know. Okay, so we have here the promises, these promises of salvation, we have them there in those verses. Okay, Okay, John 5:24 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth in him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Okay, we see here in the picture there are two ways. Okay, there are only two ways. There is the narrow way, which is through Jesus Christ. Okay, what he did on the cross, and that is how we are saved. Then there's the broad way, we can even draw a pen, which leads down to hell and to Satan. Some people try and trust their good works, and they fall short and they go to hell as well. Okay, so we have a choice to make. Okay, the choice is yours. Plan to give eternal life right now, life now, or receive Jesus Christ your Savior, telling God something like this. Okay, so when you are getting close to the end, okay, you can then ask them a question. Okay, now, ask one of you a different question. I think the good question, one that I learned from my dad, is that to ask people, when you come right through the end of the presentation of the Gospel, is to say to them, now in light of everything that we have talked about here, if the Lord Jesus Christ is right here now, what would you ask him to do for you? Okay? And what that person, the primary focus probably of that person's life, the primary desire will probably come to the forefront. Okay, so this is a little bit different to the way Rachel Cop usually does it. But that's just, I think, is a good question, because sometimes what people come out with, their mind and their heart isn't really that exercised as the gospel, be on something else. They say, I'll ask him to, help me get back with my missus, or for healing or something else. Whereas when you want to get saved, okay, there's one thing if you want. And it's salvation. You want forgiveness, you want to get saved, and money and whatever else, who cares? Or get saved. Okay? So then you can say, okay, so would you like to, and then so they say, I'll trust Christ to do what's, I'll ask him to save me, or I'll ask him to forgive me, I'll ask him to be, take my sins away. It's a good question, a good answer like that, so okay. Could you just quietly read this prayer here, with Greg there, and see if that prayer makes sense to you? So if I can read that, I'll familiarise yourself with it.
Question 2, Romans 10:13, what does God say you now ask? So Romans 10:13,
But as many as received him, to them gave the power to become of the power to become the son, become sons of God. Now, if you just caught on Christ as your Savior and received him, what does it say you are now? Sons of God, okay? Well, if you're a baby, a daughter of God, you're a child of God. Question three, what are you saved from? From my sins and from the lake of fire. Question four, if you died now, where would you go? Go to heaven. Okay, why is that? Okay, because Jesus Christ has taken the punishment of my sins and I've trusted him as my personal Savior. Okay, question five, now that we're saved, do you think it's possible to lose eternal life? I think maybe, or maybe I could lose it. Okay, let's go to 1 John 5, 12 and 13. He that, and you get to read again, he that has the Son has life, and he that has not the Son, but has not life, that you may know that you have eternal life. Okay, now question, do you have the Son? Do you just trust Christ as your Savior and receive your life? Yes. So what, you now have the Son? Okay, circle the word Son. Okay, what does that, what do you, if you have the Son, what do you now have? Life. Okay, please circle life. Okay, and it also says that you may know, except for the word know. Know that you have eternal life. Okay. Now, from the assurance, now what you can then go to a follow-up Bible study, because this is the next important thing to follow up. Okay, so if you have genuinely met someone from the Lord, you've been saved, see you in heaven. Okay, and leave the baby Christian abandoned in the cold without anyone to guide them or to feed them. Okay, we don't do that with our biological children. Once the baby's born, it's exciting, and there's a lot of work and a lot of care that needs to go on. Okay, so that's what we go to establish in the faith. Okay, so you can give them this. Okay, so this is a book which has different topics from the Bible. And open it up on the first page there, you see there's a table of contents. Okay? And then you can ask them, say, don't scare them and say this is a massive Bible college course the topic exams, explain yourself to you. So this has got some good Bible topics in it. Which of these topics interests you? Okay, we can have a look. Number 10. Okay, good. Yeah, not prayer. Got a circle of prayer. Okay, we're going to have to do that now to say this is what you're doing with them or whatever, or, how to be happy or whatever it be. And then say, okay, do you think we'd be able to meet up over the next few days sometime to be able to have a look at them, to be able to go through them? Okay, sure. All right, sure. Okay, I'll get your phone number, blah, blah, blah. Okay, want to get the address, okay, and, whatever, work out the time. To go and meet with them, and invite them to church as well. Okay? And then you can go and you can start having your first follow-up Bible study with Christians. So you might look at the ones that they've certainly go, okay, I better go home and study them myself. Okay? And then go and take them through it and teach them. Okay? And show them that and to disciple them that way as well. Hope that helps. Yeah. So, and I think it's a good presentation, okay? It's quite thorough. We're starting to be led of the Lord. Where is this person at? I think sometimes when someone starts to come under conviction of sin, okay, ultimately God knows the heart, but sometimes the person goes quite, really, very quiet. Remember, at Brother Popper's church, there was a guy there, he would have professed as a Christian. He was a bit of a frustrator as a person, actually, to be honest. But for some reason, the Lord just had it one night at church that I just got to go and share the gospel with him. Just somehow the Lord just did that, just brought me to talk with him. So I sat down and chatted with him. My brother Jeremy was there, and I talked to him for a while as well. And I started going through the tract with him and going through the Ten Commandments, and he was answering the questions that I was giving him, and then he just all of a sudden started going quiet as I was asking questions. I didn't force him to give me answers. And as the work of the law started to bring conviction in his life. And so I talked with him. So forth, and then there was some discussion following, going through the traffic team. My brother tried to resource, trying to understand how just to trust. Anyway, so came to the point where we trust the Lord, and so he called on the Lord, was Armenian, so he started, calling on the Lord in his own language. And when someone gets saved, they can still have some of their old traits, but he was different, this guy. You can see the change in him after he got saved. So that's really quite moving, when the Lord uses you to be able to lead someone to the Lord. Now, you won't always get it right, so you'll make mistakes sometimes. You think, I should have said this, or why did I forget to say that? But don't give up, okay, because of that. No, we're not perfect, we aren't always going to get it right. And the challenge I would say for you is take a stretch, got more of these tracks at church, go grab a few more, or if you want, take some now. Think of someone, family member, or friend, or even if you don't come here, you try and find someone to share the gospel with. Right? Even if you have to share the gospel with them and that person isn't quite ready to get saved, I don't believe, especially if they're pushing everyone through a prayer, okay, we see the wisdom of the Lord there, but to share it with someone and so that they actually have to understand the gospel. That's planting a seed. Okay? And that in itself is valuable if you can just simply plant the seed with someone. So try that. Give it to them. Say, ask them a question. Okay, would you like to be sure? Okay, and you can, if you're on the spot, if that you don't think you're going to make an appointment, even take them through a brief presentation. Just take them through. You'll see here that all of us have sinned. We've all broken God's laws, the Ten Commandments, lying, stealing, whatever it be. Okay, God's punishment on sin is death. God doesn't want us to go to hell. That's why he sent Christ to take that punishment. You can take them through a quick presentation if you need to. But the best is if you can sit down with them and actually have them go through and be involved with it, asking them questions, right? Letting them give you answers, having a two-way dialogue and taking them right through it. Any questions? Yeah.
Just a note on the book is I've got two different versions here, so whether some people are missing page one, which is the table of contents you referred to.
Oh, is it?
So some stuff.
Is one a smooth cover down on a paper?
Yeah.
I'm not sure why. Is everyone got the table of contents, the chart, the table of contents? If you don't, feel free to swap it. Come on, Charles, I don't know why it will be.
I also have the A to Z of spiritual growth, which is a very good discipleship course as well.
Sure.
So with all these things there, we're just putting various tools in your hands. But the A to Z is also, I can provide that if you're really interested in that as well.
That's right. That's another thing as well, is you could say, is you could line him up with him or her up with Pastor Simeon, okay, for the A to Z class. That's another way to do it.
Or they can do it. I'm just saying, we've also got the A to Z course available for people to use it.
Sure.
For their own.
That's right. So part of getting the lesson off Pastor Simeon, meet up with them and go through A, assurance. Okay, and start getting through those lessons with them as well. So, can you imagine, how many people in this room? About 40? Okay, let's say there's 40 people in this room who could all share the gospel, and everybody just led one person across. 40 people. Can you imagine if you then went and led one more person across, and they all led one more person across, it's like 80 people. And if everyone goes and leads one more, you know what I mean? You can see how that he can go more. How many here knows, has an unsaved family member? Unsaved work colleague? Unsaved friend? There's someone you can share the gospel with. And you know what? You won't know unless you ask. They might say no, but how do you know they won't say yes? So try and seek opportunities as well that God is going to bring you in touch with people in people's lives for a reason. Okay? Think about Philip, Ethiopian eunuch, and God called him, the Ethiopian eunuch and Philip the evangelist, God called Philip the evangelist all the way over to the Ethiopian eunuch to get saved. So see opportunity, bring in the shops. Some reason you talk to someone, something. Hand them a card, hand them a tract, challenge them. Any questions? No?
Typically, practical help as far as when you start sharing this with someone and they start. But obviously, examples we answered, the person always right, yes. But when a person either just won't answer or they're answering wrong answers,
Yeah, okay, so, I mean, if someone just will not answer you, that's probably means that they obviously just don't want to be involved. Good question. So what if they're giving the wrong answer? So, for example, they refuse to put their sin. You then have to try to help them to come to the right answer. Well, so they don't understand, okay? They don't necessarily understand. Don't be surprised when people don't always understand. They haven't been in church or, you know, don't know the gospel, you know, man beliefs and guardian angels and evolution and, you know, the whole conglomerate of things. So that's another thing. Don't be afraid to just go slowly with them. Okay, you don't have to rush through it. Don't just assume that they're getting it all. But if they don't understand, you then just have to further explain. Okay? Or try to deal with some issues that might not help. Yeah, is that what you're looking for? Yeah, so basically if they don't understand something, then you just have to try to explain it first. Okay? For example, if they don't believe in sins. Okay? Or, you know, that you need to show them or say, you know, well, everyone's told a lie, haven't they? We've all told lies. Okay? Or, you know, we've all sold something. You know, and help them to the right thing. You know, they might have an objection about hell. You know, that's how God would send them to help. We see God's love. God actually wants us to go there. That's why God has provided a way of escape for us. You know, so we don't have to do that. You know, sometimes you might have to deal with a bit of apologetics as you're going through. One of the good things, if you have their mind and their focus on the tracks, and you're asking the questions, and keeping them involved, that's going to help you as well. Okay? So that they are focusing on what they're answering your questions, they're not taking control of the conversation.
I think you mentioned as well, but a lot depends on the context too. You know, if someone's willing to sit down and go through with you, you're going to go through a lot more in detail.
Yep.
Speaking to someone on the street, you sense they're kind of in a bit of a rush, and so you're going to just adapt and try and just probably give them a quick summarised word.
Give them a summarised word, yeah.
So just on that note, I've had people before who maybe will be fairly agreed and following along, but they just won't admit that they're skewed. They're just stubborn on that. Would you, in my mind, what I'll do then is I would skip that and try and keep going to get through the gospel.
Yeah.
Obviously that has to be dealt with, I think, before they can call upon the Lord. So it's possible for someone to be saved, admitting they're a sinner, but they don't admit that they've broken this particular one.
Well, at the same time, I mean, I suppose it's highly unlikely that someone has stolen something in their life. But if they say no, I absolutely haven't. I haven't stolen anything, and you say, maybe something small, whatever, no. Well, I think what you're saying, keep going. So, I don't know why I have, and then keep going. So if it's a pride thing where they know they have and they just won't admit it, you know, God's going to convict them, you know, and you can try to help them to the right thing, but they're not going to admit that, or there's not a lot you can do.
I would just say at that point, I'll say, well, you know, let's just say that even what you say is true, there's a couple of commandments here that you think you've kept. The point is we haven't kept all of them, haven't we?
Yes, that's right.
You know, and then often that's where the James 1 says that, you know, if you offend in one point, you're guilty of all.
Yeah.
That's a good illustration. So when Moses came down from the mountain, the people were sinning, he smashed the commandments. And in a sense, that's, you know, I use the illustration of God's law is like a mirror.
Yeah.
You take a hammer and hit a mirror, the whole thing shatters.
Yes.
So even if you have kept, you feel that you probably haven't kept that one, the point is we've broken God's overall standard and we sinned. So you can sum up and then just move from
there. Yeah, that's the illustration of the mirror. Okay, so, you know, it's the fact is, and you can even say, you know, God can give us these, the reason we've shown you is we don't go to heaven by keeping these. Okay, the fact is, you know, so the Lord is our school officer, the Lord is our schoolmaster to lead us across. The idea of the Lord is to show us our need. Okay, I'll use the illustration of the mirror there to say, when you go into your mirror in the morning, okay, you see, is that the representation of who you are? Now, we don't always like what we see in the mirror, but he shows us who we are. When we look into the law of God, it doesn't show us what we would like to see, but it shows us that rather than being good people, we are sinners. Okay? Yeah.
To a Catholic.
Mm.
So they call me religious.
Yeah.
And they get aggressive and almost angry.
Okay.
So if I've given them traps and left them in the hole like that, but they just almost dismiss it and it's almost become, or not almost, but become very defensive. I don't need that.
Mm.
I don't want to read that. And almost become angry at me.
Yeah, that's right.
So how would I sort of overcome that conversation?
Yeah, okay, well, I suppose it's one thing to hand them a leaflet and they might say, I don't want that. But what I think perhaps something you could do as a family member is to go to them and say, you know that I love you, okay, you're my family member, you know you're my sister, you're my brother, or whatever. And look, I just have a question for you and ask them that question. So I'm not judging you, right? I'm not coming to judge you, but I just want to ask you this question because I care about you. If you don't know, would you be 100% sure of going to heaven and saying no and saying, yeah, so and so, would you like to be sure? And then you'll check it and show them if they say yes. But think love
and
love.
They dismiss you, then if they dismiss you.
They dismiss you wrong.
But how do you keep going or do you.
Possibly just pray. Yeah. I think sometimes there are some people who just will not let you in.
Yeah, that's right.
And you won't be in unless you pass the Bible. No. he's very, very skilled. That's another thing. If someone types Bob and said, if you can't lead someone to Christ, put them in touch with someone who can. That's another thing as well. If you can't seem to get through to someone, introduce them to somebody else who might be able to help them.
It's almost something better, I'm just speaking of my family, it's like a stranger with them.
Yeah.
But because I'm family coming in, and because they see that I've left their religion, which is Catholic.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
So I was accused, you've left us.
Yeah.
We taught you what we need you to know. Now you've left us and you've chosen another religion. So I've explained that all to them over the years, but they just don't get it.
Yeah, that's right. Because because religion and family is tied together, you reject one, you reject the other. So sometimes when you pray, try, I think reach out to them as best you can love, and I mean, sometimes people just won't let you in. But I think perhaps, though, I think if you can get them, get to that matter of eternal security and salvation, if you can point to that rather than getting on to, even in a sense, necessarily getting started to say, I don't think you would do this, getting to a religious debate over Mary, whether we should worship Mary or not, is trying to move to that, to their needs. Okay, so, alright. We're Catholics. Okay, we're Catholics. Okay, I understand that. So, just a question for you. Would you be 100% sure if you don't know you go to heaven? Oh, I don't think anyone can be. Well, the Bible says we can be, and I can show you. And then finally, for a turning point.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think, with all of this, ultimately looking to the Lord to open the heart of the sinner to the gospel. And I think as you pointed out, in a sense you can't force an opportunity. We do everything we can on our part as a soul in it, but ultimately if someone just won't listen and won't let you, you have to just leave that in the Lord's hands.
Okay.
And that's why Paul said in Colossians 4, he said, pray for a door of utterance. So there is the prayer aspect here. Prayer opens those doors.
Yeah.
Just even, and this is one thing that's really struck me, is just in order for there to actually be an opportunity to present the gospel, God has to do a work. Okay, the door of utterance has to be open. Just not even if the person gets, saved in that point of time right there, but just an opportunity to present Christ to someone involves the Lord opening that door. So if it comes to very stubborn family members or whatever, you have to make those attempts as you're able, but then you just have to just take it to prayer and ask the Lord to really just do work to open those doors, because you can't force someone to listen.
I think I'm surprised at the anger.
Yeah.
I think it's anger.
Because it is.
Just, I don't know, just like we've been speaking about God's things and general, security, I just get all defensive and angry.
Yeah.
I think it surprised me how much anger came out, and it frightened me a little bit, to be honest.
Yeah, that's right, because they take it personally, and it's now light and darkness, and the two don't have it together, and so, it's... And your experience there, that's the experience of thousands of people. Yeah.
I think it's just,
I guess that's normal. A friend of mine who's married on Catholic, got kicked out of there. His brothers walked up his back and tried to drag him out, like a, you know, drink out of church or whatever. So that persecution. That what you're suffering, that's a lot of people, not the minimum that have gone through that sort of thing. Also, even the Lord, his own brethren are believing.
I think, as you said as well, Vicky, sometimes it is because of that close family connection, they take it more personally. And sometimes, as Pastor Dan mentioned, sometimes praying for maybe a non family member to have an opportunity to be useful. So, the case in point would be Sister Karen and her mother. You know, she's been sharing the gospel with her mum for years, but that's just my daughter.
Yes.
But, you know, when we were at Victor Harbour, I went and saw her, and, you know, just a different person, non-family member, and even just a different gift or different personality, the Lord can sometimes use that. Mm-hmm. Went through the gospel with her, and it seemed that she called the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it just...
I recognise that too.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's me. Mm-hmm. It's just, it's religious.
I think George had his hand up before.
I already answered
the
question.
Okay.
Just a question, just for clarification, for instance, and probably wisdom of the Lord's. See how it's got question one under all of sin. It says, do you want the God of the Bible to be your God?
Mm-hmm.
If they say, no, I'm not too sure, then what would your advice be there? Because obviously they might even say, yeah, I'm a sinner.
So some of these questions, I think, that the Brother Popper has in me is to try to help the person to make the right decision at the end, to trust the Lord. So you might try to deal with that issue in brief, but perhaps we'll keep going with the gospel though, so they can get the entire picture still. Like, so don't, I'd say, try to deal with it. Why is that? Oh, well, because so many little children die or whatever. So the last one's actually got a section of it is, well, this is the answer book on common objections that you're meeting in soul winning. So different common things that people throw up. Which if you study those, you might be able to deal with some of those things or try to. But then, once trying to deal with it, then try and get back to the gospel. Don't just sort of leave it there and say, okay, no worries, we'll see you later.
Yeah.
Yeah, if possible, try and get through the gospel, I think.
Yeah, sometimes during witnessing at work, questions will come up.
Mm-hmm.
And I sort of analysed it in the back. And I remember at the beginning you said, when you're soul winning, you think about it, and you go, oh, I should have said this, or I should have done it. What I realised is that some of the rabbits that come up are the ones that you say, look, that's a good question. We'll notate that, and we'll get back to it. Can we just...
That's right. For the objection, you can say we can deal with that later, but this will make more sense if we can go through the whole thing. You know, you need to understand, well, from salvation, which how often we need to understand the whole picture. So, yeah.
Sorry to interrupt. We're out of time.
Okay.
We'll probably go to the morning tea. Yeah, just one final thought, just tying into that. We need to see ourselves very much as sowers. We do get the privilege of reaping, and we do hope and pray for that. But if we go out with the mindset that we're going to reap every time and every individual with the first presentation, we'll be discouraged. So I think the goal with this is not to just push someone for a prayer in the end, unless they're ready, but to see ourselves, and that's where you might have all sorts of objections, but if we can even just sow a seed, all we can use.
That's right. Encourage that anyway, to use it, or a presentation of the gospel, and to start sharing the gospel with people. Whether it be on the street, or family members, or friends, or work colleagues, or whatever, try to make an appointment, and then take them through. As long as you want to do some projects, just so you can get through the gospel. Don't get rid of your track and go all over, because that's going to be what you go back to jog your memory about what to do. Okay. Also, it's in this establishing of faith. Lesson 44, page 57, okay? You need to go back to a refresher as well. Let's pray, shall we? Father, we thank you for the blessing upon this time, Lord. We're going to share the gospel with us. called to become soul winning through you, pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Alright, we'll go for a short break, have some morning tea, about 15 minutes, and then be back. By about 4:15, 3:15 at the latest.